The NOAA ship Benjamin Franklin limped along like a sailor who'd been in a bar brawl. The tug-of-war with the Whirlpool had taken its toll on the ship's engines, which had to be babied so they wouldn't break down completely. The Throckmorton trailed several hundred yards behind in case the NOAA vessel ran into trouble. When the two ships had made their way back to Norfolk, Austin Zavala, the Trouts, and Dr. Adler said their goodbyes and agreed to meet at 8 the next morning after a good night's rest. Back at his home in Fairfax, Virginia, Austin picked up the thick NUMA directory next to the phone, scanned the listings, and punched in a number on the phone. A man answered. "Hello, Alan. This is Kurt Austin. I just got in from a cruise. Hope I didn't wake you."
"Not at all, Kurt. Nice to hear from you. What can I do for you?"
"Can you make a meeting at my place tomorrow morning around 8? It's quite important."
"Of course."
There was a pause.
"You know what I do?"
"I know very well what you do. You're a specialist in applied electromagnetism with expertise in antennae. You're responsible for designing the electronic eyes and ears NUMA uses to probe the deep and maintain communications among its far-flung operations. I read your paper on the effect of ground plane size on the radiation patterns produced by reduced surface antennae."
"You did. I'm flattered. I'm basically a tinkerer. I think of the special assignments team as swashbucklers.
Austin and his team were legends around NUMA, and Alan Hibbett was stunned at being asked to help."
"I'll be glad to help in any way I can," Hibbett said.
In the morning, Austin showered and shaved, got dressed comfortably in t-shirt and shorts, and whipped together an order of scrambled eggs and Virginia ham, which he ate on the deck. He had just finished clearing away the dishes when Zavala knocked on the door. The Trouts showed up a few minutes later with Professor Adler. Al Hibbett arrived at the same time. Hibbett was a tall, thin man with a shock of white hair. Austin handed each person a mug of coffee and herded them to a round, teakwood table on the deck. He got right to the point. "Something very odd has been going on in the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. The sea is being stirred up like eggs in a bowl. These disturbances have sunk one ship, and possibly two that we know of, nearly sank another, and have scared a year's growth or some of the people seated around this table, including yours truly." He turned to Adler. "Professor, will you be kind enough to describe the phenomena we've witnessed, and hold forth with some of your theories?"
"I'll be glad to," Adler said.
He recounted the disappearance of the unsinkable Southern Bell and the successful search for the lost ship. He described the satellite evidence confirming the existence of giant waves in the ship's vicinity. Last, and with slightly less enthusiasm, he talked about his theory that the disturbances may not have been of natural origin. As he explained his thoughts, he looked from face to face, as if he were searching for a hint of doubt. To his relief, he saw only seriousness and interest.
"Satellite imagery suggests that other areas of the oceans have been similarly disturbed, and that there is an unusual symmetry to the disturbances."
Using Austin's laptop, Adler showed the satellite images of the killer wave concentrations. Austin asked the Trouts to describe their descent into the maelstrom. Again, there was silence, as Gamay and Paul took turns telling about being sucked into the vortex and their last-minute rescue.
"You say there was lightning at the time this whirlpool first materialized?" Hibbett said.
Gamay and Paul nodded.
Hibbett's reply was a succinct, "Ah."
Zavala picked up the story thread and told the group about boarding the resurrected ship. Hibbett was keenly interested in his description of the power plant and the damaged electrical framework on deck.
"I wish I could have been there to see it," he said.
"I can do the next best thing," Zavala said.
Moments later, the digital photos he had taken of the mystery ship were displayed on the computer screen.